say. Sky, thanks. Sky. Okay. We're on page Lamites, Soid Tardemus Agolus. Soid Tardemus Agolus. We began with a few sentences. Let's start again on the on page Lamites. The chazon of the Atzamas Ayavashis, the vision of the dried bones that Yechezkel saw, coming back to life and being revived, as it says in Ovi, is Kol Beis Yisrael Haima. It's the entire Jewish people coming back to life. It happens in different shlevim, as we've been learning. It happens in different stages. The return in the past 100, 130, 140 years of Jews in larger numbers, there is just so. And our being able to establish some manner of sovereignty in that, in our land, we see very, very openly as that shlav, that first stage of the bones gathering together. And Jews have come, as in the vision of Yechezkel Navi, Jews have come from all over the world. Have returned from all over the world. But even though they've returned, and there are very, very healthy signs of our being, of our returning to our place and being restored to, or the beginning of restoration to our health, and there's flesh and everything else growing on the body, still what's missing is that nefichas ruach achayim, that life that takes all of the bones and all of the cells and all of the organs of the body and makes everything into one guf, which is called Knesset Yisrael. What we were learning at the end last week, and the Chalban will speak a lot about during the Sefer, is the learning of Pnimiyus HaTorah as being a very important part of the Ruach HaChaim. That Torah that speaks all the time, that is constantly, constantly in the world of the Shechina and Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, Pnimiyus HaTorah. But the Chalban continues on page Lamites. Ramnam his galus madrega zun niskelus bekoshim ravim batsum. This is what we were talking about at the end last week. There are many challenges we have now at the end of time, as we're holding mamish erev Mashiach. Unfortunately, we've been so many years in galus, and there are habits that we've picked up over the years. Over the years in galus, we survived being separated one from the other, and we developed into different kehilas. And even in the kehilas, there was constant bickering and fighting and arguing. Different communities, different shuls, different yeshivas, divided into different, because of the different places we're in. We have different cultures. And the Ashkenazim and Sfaradim and Hasidim and Anchasidim and so on and so forth, all of these things. So we sense ourselves as being separate and different. And in order to survive, each chevra became completely preoccupied with its own shleimus, with its own well being. Hein hagashmis, to physically survive. And spiritually. Now all of this, of course, led to a sharpening of the differences of those things that divide us. To cause there to be a sharpening of that, of those differences that separate between all the different chevras that we have within Am Yisrael. And not only that, but af lochu shemisaknim is kiyum of erechayiv akidekach, the Jews feel threatened by other Jews. the Jews feel, even among religious Jews, not just talking about religious and non-religious, that people feel threatened, that another way of Yiddishkeit is a threat to mine. And we're not just talking about people who are observant or not observant, even within Shmiras HaMitzvos. V'lamoid be'emdas hagana mulam, and to take a defensive stand. One group takes a defensive stance vis-a-vis the other. B'stagrus u'b'shmira l'intresim ha'nitzrochim l'kiyumo v'chol kayetze b'zeh. And each one is like shuttered up and closed in, guarding its own interests, the interests of that chassidus, the interests of the yeshiva world. I always personally find something unappealing about articles that begin in our articles in our from magazines that begin with in the Torah world. I never like that term, in the Torah world. I don't know what they mean exactly by that. And how do you get into the Torah world? And what does it mean when you're not in? Does it, if it means Shmiras HaMitzvos, I understand that. Jews who believe in Torah mitzvahs. Do you mean something more specific by the Torah world? And then you have the yeshiva world, or the chassidische Welt. So these worlds have, over the years, Baruch Hashem, have developed in wonderful ways. But at the same time, each is suspicious of the influence of the other and has grown apart from the other. Mikan bo tchushas habitochon. And even within the yeshivas, and within among the Sfaradim, and among the chassidim, terrible, terrible fighting and terrible disagreements, machlokes. Mikan bo tchushas habitochon b'shteichus ha'odom lechevra ha'to'emes es darko. Therefore, people are desperately looking nowadays to have the security of being davka with their own type. That fits their own hashkafas, their own type, as darko. Every school has that type, and if the kid is not that type, if the family is not that type, it's not that type. I think I shared with you, maybe it was in the summer, I was talking to the chevra there, because that's when my wife read to me an article. I'm not sure if it was here, but my wife read to me an article that there was a, this happened in Eretz Yisrael, that there was a boy that they did not want to allow to stay in the yeshiva or to be accepted to the yeshiva because the father wore short sleeves. It was a white shirt, but it was with short sleeves. So there was arguing by the board and different things what to do. This is what people. So they're arguing about this, and they decided they would go to Reb Shmuel Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And they came to Reb Shmuel Arbach, and when they came in, he was wearing short sleeves. He was wearing short sleeves. It was hot. He was wearing short sleeves. So that was the... And he asked, Madu abatem? Madu higatem? And they said, Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yeah, yeah. That the father's wearing short sleeves. Not if you're talking about colors or boxes or checks, short sleeves that might somehow threaten your kid's alibis or shnayas or something. He might turn out not to be religious or something because of this guy's short sleeves. And this is not an exaggeration. If you're familiar with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, it's much, much more mild over here. But it's in certain communities, there are problems here as well. But in Eretz Yisrael, the group that you're in has to fit exactly what your hashkafas are, and no one's allowed to be different. Le'edah mimena bo mishpachto, or where your family comes from, that edah, whatever it is, the group, the chassidus, the yeshiva, the Persians, Assyrians, whatever. Uskirus v'af nigud charif lechevra hashanah mechevrosa. And there's an isolation from, separation from, and even nigud charif, very often, very strong opposition to Jews that are different. Hergel's this hergel that we just got used to over the years in Golis. Lichyas benefrodus, to live as divided communities, to be separate one from the other. Hushrash amoik ma'oid b'imkeh neshamas. It's deeply rooted in the emek, in the depths of our neshamas, over so many years of trying to survive this way, being suspicious of all outsiders, even though it's from Am Yisrael, being suspicious. Look, we saw this in a very strong way. Unfortunately, this past week, very few people, but again, I don't know what's in there to sell, but the whole aftermath of what took place in Pittsburgh, and that feeling the Jews have of it's, there's us and then there's them. There's them. Very few people, I think, had that. And it was overblown because of how things get around nowadays. But still, there was great confusion. A few yeshiva bachim that I met this past week or two since it happened have told me that they're not getting clear messages in the yeshiva that they come from. Officially, the yeshiva is saying what happened is terrible and they're kedoshim and we have to feel for them and say tehillim. But then privately, there are teachers that are saying the klal sum sof kol sof. They're not from the nishma unzer. They're not ours, really. They're not shomei mitzvahs. And it turns out that the whole thing about there being a bris over there was all shek of a chazer. There was no bris. And there was nothing. Nobody gay. And there was nothing. The whole thing was shek of mamish, shek. But us and them, us and them. And there was a friend of mine who was very upset about all this. We were talking, and his parents also, his mother's not alive anymore, but his parents are survivors. And although anybody who had come from that, who came from that background, I think the idea, when I discussed this with my father, when I was there yesterday, he didn't hear of any of this. And I discussed it with my father, because somebody that came to do some physical therapy, my father said, I heard your son on the tape. So I get to the house, my father said, what happened? What did you say that he was talking about? What did he say? So I said, I told my father what the Inyum was about. And I didn't start showing him about it. I said, what the Inyum was about. And he said, this person that was talking, he was in concentration camp. He was in the lager. He said, we were there, all different kinds of Jews. And like I told you once before that, and I mentioned this many times over the years, that Hitler paskin that we're all Jews, so we paskin like Hitler. The halach is ki Hitler. He paskin like Hitler. He held everybody's Jewish. Hilchasukah basroi. The halach is like him. The last of the big, big, great anti-Semites. We paskin like him. Everybody's Jewish. You're Jewish. Your mother's Jewish. You're Jewish. We paskin like him. My father said, we made a chilek. There was an afkimina when we were there. There was a difference between one of us and the other one of us. We didn't hold on to each other. Anytime that you're someplace in a strange place and it's a very geisha place, you see a Jew, makes no difference. Religious, not religious, right? Just a yid. But over the years, the Chalban is saying that this is a problem that we've developed, this problem. Hergel zeh lichyas b'nefrad des hushvash amoik mem kenet neshamas hu soid tardemas hagolos mamish. This is what the Zohar Kodesh refers to, and we saw from the Vilna Gaon spoke very strongly about it. This is the soid of tardemas hagolos mamish, of the Jewish people being asleep in golos. Shaleh omar b'pasach elio. Regarding this, we find in Pasach elio, in the Tikkuni Zohar, Shekol hatzadikim demichne v'shinten b'chareyon. That even tzadikim are asleep, and there's sleep in their eyes. It means a deep sleep, and there's slumber in their eyes. Shishena amuka ma'ayd, which is a description of very deep sleep. Vinyan shenazu, this inyan of being asleep. Hitardema biachas l'shchina, means that we're unaware. We're alive. Because when you're asleep, you're alive, and your body is functioning, but you don't take note of the reality that surrounds you. You're just oblivious. So the Zohar says that we're oblivious to the Shechina. In Golis, we have been asleep, oblivious to the presence of the Shechina. Biachas, each person is thinking of himself, not about Knesset Yisrael, not about the bigger picture, not about the Shechina. This Messias of the entire Jewish people being Guf Echad, we're oblivious to it. And in regard to this Inyan, were asleep. Even tzaddik. V'rochok mi'asaga seinu v'machavias chayenu ma'oid. And something which is very, very far. This inyan of Am Yisrael, of the Shechina, it's very far from us. We get worked up about it from time to time when something happens and everybody gets very emotional, gets teary-eyed. But then it passes and you're back to defending your own turf and everybody else's treif and everybody else's parcel. Kim hayino aram l'mahus haklala shel kolano. Because if we would be awake and we would be aware of the true character, of the essence that we all share in common, v'im hayino choshim es haviyasen k'guf echad mamish. And if we would sense our existence like one body, mamish, then the entire way that we relate to each other would be completely different. Be completely different. You know, I was talking to someone, I was in yeshiva list, and I was talking to someone in the Bochum, and somebody was telling me, and we were talking a little bit on the way with one of the chevra, that this inyan that happened, When Jews that are not religious, when they saw and they're watching how so many front people are coming there and calling and writing and want to do something for them, you know how many chevra all over the country, besides Pittsburgh, all over the country, chevra started putting on, want to wear yarmulkes, and they wanted to go daven, whatever they think is davening, wherever the temple, the synagogue, but they want to. They want to have a shaykhus. They think that we hate them. They think we have no shaykhus to them. When they see tapes and things like that, that speak against it. So it verifies their worst fears. But that, of course, is not how we feel. We feel very connected to them. And when they see that, They go mamish out of the kelim. They want to do anything to be more Jewish, to feel more Jewish, to connect to Yiddishkeit. When they see that from people care about them, and that we're interested in them and so on, they're falling over each other to have a connection, to do something. This is what's going on. There was people were telling me that they read about, they heard about them. People telling them all over the country what's going on. And people feel that. That Am Yisrael is, that there's that feeling of being together. Our entire, if we would really feel this, if we would be awake to this reality all of the time, not just when there's a tragedy, then our entire way of relating to each other would be different. Hechrech achduseinu hayabor. The absolute necessity of our achdus, that there's no other way to live, would be clear. The feeling of the common denominator, even with somebody who's not religious. Even with somebody who's not religious. The feeling of that connection. Hamachaneh mashutaf hayagadol. Memela hayinu moitzim drachim acheros lesmaitadusim hashoyna shebena evarim. We would find different ways to deal with the issues that separate us. Because there are issues, sof kol sof. There are hashkafas. I mean, if the conservative person from a conservative temple asks you to come daven with him in his temple, lemaisa, you can't. You can't daven over there. So obviously that's hurtful to him. And we're not expected nor be allowed to make compromises in halacha. Whatever we're allowed to make, we make. But otherwise we can't make compromises in halacha. But we would find ways to deal with these things. And they wouldn't be so super sensitive about them the way that they are now. We would have to find ways to do it, not to go against halacha. Not to go against halacha. They would want to come to be in our shuls. They would want to visit us in our shuls. And they wouldn't say, only if you come to see them. They wouldn't say that. It wouldn't be that way. If be'emes, they would feel the ahava coming from us, that love, and they would sense that we mamash are, that we're brothers, so then they would want to be mishtata for us. They would want to have a connection to us. Vaflimtzos nitzoytza or vahabrocha naladim davke me'ashoni. And then the Chalban says, then we'd be able to find the spark of light and blessing that comes davke as a result of there being differences between people, because There's so much that we could learn from each other. There's so much that we could benefit from each other. All different types of Jews. A tremendous amount. Davka from differences. The Jews that grew up out of town and they lived among people that were not Jewish. In general, I always found when I was in yeshiva and I would meet these people, in general, I found it to be on many, many levels. You can't say klal, but in general, I saw that they were more God-fearing and more wholesome. And here in New York, we have, you can't daven if someone has a different yarmulke, you can't daven in the same shul. It's not like that out of town. Any Jew that shows up in shul, he gets a whole Kabbalah spana. Now, where did you daven at Leah Shabbos? Anybody that comes is they're so excited, they're so welcome. And Davka by being in a place where there are Jews that are different than you, you grow from that, you learn from that. You become better from that. If you're very, very insecure, which is how we are, if you're very insecure, like we were learning before about your Yiddishkeit, then anybody that's different could cause your kid to like go off the derech. Anybody that's a little bit different. There was a parent that was just, I was on the phone like an hour and a half ago with a parent who was telling me about, they're trying to figure out where to send the boy to yeshiva for high school. And there was some place like by an open house thing, and the open house was saying that the whole pitch of the open house, that's what we call it, an open house, the whole pitch was that we're your type, and don't go out of town or to other yeshivas. There's a great danger. You'll meet all different kinds of people and so on. Here, this is, we understand who you are. No. Schmeck nicht geht. And like, say, how do you, is it, to say such a thing as that? Schmeck nicht, doesn't smell right. Doesn't smell right. Who are your type? You're gemalt. Everybody that has a bris, so we're the same type. What does it mean? We're the same type. This doesn't smell right. But you know, to go to someplace else, maybe it's a little bit different. I felt that Dr. the boy, he's a very strong boy. He should go someplace else and meet different kinds of kids, different people, go to a different community. It's nice to see. It's nice to see. It was always part of growing up to meet different kinds of people and to. If you want to find out whether or not your Yiddishkeit is strong, then you see, how do you do when you're with people that are not like you? How do you do when you're with people? How do you keep things when it's not so easy, when the shul's not on the corner and things are a little bit different? Maybe you'll begin to feel a little bit more pride that our kids, most of our kids, don't feel such pride in being Jew. They don't, because all they see is this little world, so they don't feel so proud. But when you go someplace and you're representing Yiddishkeit, you know, you feel a certain pride of who you are, and you stand for something. You want to prove yourself to be worthy of that name of being a Yid, of being a Jew, of being a Jew. So the difference is, if we would have the right way of thinking and we would be awake, so then the differences wouldn't take us apart. It would make us into greater people. Again, using the muscle of the body, the body is made of all different kinds of limbs and organs, and each one has a different job, and they get along with each other. All the different cells and the molecules and the atoms, all the stuff. It's like getting along. Everybody gets along with each other. If something's not right, the person's sick. Otherwise, everybody gets along with each other in the guf. V'yachtav mahavim guf mishuchlo. And everything together makes it a body that's mishuchlal, that's properly healthy, developed in a healthy way. The gula depends on this ruach of klolius, this ruach haklolus. This is the ruach of the Shechina Jews, to feel connected one to the other. That's what gula depends on. Soid or Shechina, which is the soid of the light of the Shechina, next page. Which depends on our waking up from this sleep that we're in. To wake up from this sleep of separateness, of fragmentation, and disunity of Golas. Ka'imrei, it says in the Tikkun Ezra, we'll just read the Hebrew translation on the bottom. Elyonim Shim'u. Heim Yisheni Chevron Umayishu Rabbeinu His'oru Mishinaschem. There's a call that goes out to all the angels above and to the great tzaddikim who are sleeping, who are resting in Chevron, the Avos and the Imahos, Moshe Rabbeinu, wherever he is out there. His'oru Mishinaschem. There's a call that goes out and says, wake up, get up from being asleep. His'oru Mishinaschem. Hakitzu v'ranenu shaychnei ofer. That's the name of the sefer. Hakitzu v'ranenu shaychnei ofer. Wake up and rejoice, those of you who are sleeping in the dust, in the dirt. Elo oisem tzadikim shem ibchines hashchina. Shneimar ba ani yishen v'li be'er. V'heim eina meisim. Even the tzadikim and golas seem to be asleep. But they're not entirely asleep, because even though ani yishena, but v'li be'er, even though I am asleep, but my heart is awake. V'heim eina meisim, and they're not completely dead. L'chein nemer b'hem hakitzu v'ranenu. Therefore, they're being told, get up, wake up, and rejoice. Hakitzu Moshe v'ha'ovis, Moshe v'enu ne'ovis, wake up. Kumul es oiruz hashchina, shehi yishena b'golus. The time has come for you to wake up to the Shechina, which is asleep during the years of Golus. Ki ad ka'eis kol ha-tzadikim redumim v'sheina b'eineyam. Because until now, even the tzadikim, over the years of Golus, their eyes have been filled with sleep. So even the Avos in the Maris HaMachpelah, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the tzadikim, are being told that the time has come, higi hazman. The time has come to wake up to the Shechina, to wake up and to get ready for Mashiach. Back inside, v'nihu ba laharis shehatadema hi be'inyan hashchina. It's clear from the Tikkunim, from the Zohar, that this sleep is in relation to the Shechina. We're very much awake and involved and doing all kinds of good things, but as far as the Shechina is concerned, we're sleeping. Ka'omrei di'i yishena megalusa v'yesh l'soir eleh, and we need to awaken in our relationship with her. V'kach tova hagula, and that's how gula will come. Beside ma she'en there achakach b'ikvas hayikitza she'roi she'nim l'tal, that my head is dripping with tal. What's the tal? Shu inyan tal shel tchias ha-meisim. You know that Hashem is going to revive the meisim, the dead, and bring them back to life with the tal shel tchia. So when it says in Shir Hashem, Roishi nimla tal, my head is dripping with tal. On a deeper level, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are saying this, and the Shechina is saying this. It means that the time has come for tchias ha-meisim, and the Shechina is crying out. Roishi nimla tal, that my head is soaking with the tal of tchia, with the longing to return to life. Soit hisoirus mehamaves, b'chinas shena, to return from that state of death that the Vilna Gaon was describing, that we spoke about earlier. Zosoit hakeitz. And therefore, Kates, the word Kates means, Yikitsa, it means to wake up. It means to wake up. It means the end of sleep, like Vahimi Kates Shnasayim Yom. It means to wake up. To get up. Zo Soit HaKates, Shemiloshna Yikitsa. Ki HaGolos Hushena, because Golos is sleeping. The Kates HaGolos, who his iris mehashena, and the end of Golas is the his iris from sleep. Yikitza leboiker hagula, to wake up to the morning of redemption, hazareach u'meir b'nishmesena, that's already shining and illuminating within our souls. Lefichach yesh lanu lehesbeinu b'inyin hashena hazu. Therefore, we have to study this more to understand the nature of this shena, of this sleep. Ki hu yisoid havanas hatafkid shelanu, because it's going to help us to understand the unique responsibility of the generation of Geula, that's us. The unique responsibility of this last generation. Besoid hayikitza v'soros l'geula. What does it mean to wake up? What could we do to wake up ourselves and to wake others up? Shetovi aleinu es haruach gedoyla, that we should be able to draw upon ourselves that great ruach of life. Or hashchina, the light of the shchina, l'hach yoses am kula k'guf echad, and to bring the entire nation back to life as one body. Page mem beis. Ubibir shena zuma inyona. So let's understand on a deep level, what is this sleep? So we already learned that the most obvious symptom of being asleep in Golas is this need to preserve our separate identities, not as Jews, but from other Jews, and not to be able to see beyond our own, you know, parochial needs and concerns. So we understand that's a symptom of this sleep, that we're unaware of that reality of the Shechina, of Knesset Yisrael, of that unity, of that oneness of Am Yisrael. That's a symptom. What's the deeper inyan of, where does this come from? Why are we like that? Noida hadover sha'ashena hisilu kamoichen. Now, sleep, in Chazal, in the Zohar Kodesh, in the Kisvei Ari, the drushim that we have in the Shah Kavanas about the night, the inyan of sleep is siluk ha-moichin. As I said before, siluk means the disappearance of moichin, of the intellect, meaning of awareness. Otherwise, the person is alive. Everything is okay. He's breathing and he's fine. Everything is okay. But the moichin, there's a siluk ha-moichin. The moichin is not there. The mind is elsewhere. A lot of people do that when they're awake nowadays also. But sleep is in a very deep way. There's a sila kamoich. Shem hadas shel ha'odam. Which is das. Ulam hine mevur b'divrei Arizal shel olam yesh moichin la'odam. The Arizal explains that a person always has moichin, the mind, awareness, and so on. Gambishanosa, even while he's sleeping. Acheres yomas blichias. If the moichin were not there, a person would die. Because life comes from the moichin. So we would die if we didn't have the moichin. Akemizmanashena boim moichin de katnas. The difference is as follows. When a person is entirely alert and awake, that's called moichin de godless. When a person is in a state of very, very dim and small awareness, that's called moichin de katnas. Small, moichin de katnas. La chayoyesai ad sheyokem mishinasai. So while the person is sleeping, his moichin is in a state of katnas. While he's sleeping, the moichin is in a state of katnas, which if it were like on a chart, on a graph, would be that it's very, very, very low. But it's there. It's alive. The moichin is alive, just very, very low. He needs to remain alive, and that keeps him alive. Ad sheyokem mishinasa, until he wakes up, via shuvah l'moichin the godless, and he's able to be once again in the place of moichin the godless. Kach bezman hashena, when a person is sleeping, hamoach yashen, the mind is sleeping. It's alive, but it's resting, it's sleeping. Ach hatefkud b'habisisi mamshich, and the basic functions of the mind continue, all the stuff that the brain takes care of with the body, and everything is working. In order that the body stays alive during the time of sleep. Yes, so okay. In addition to this, Harizal Mavarish Afilu Bazman Hamisa. Now we go a step further. The Harizal explains, and we've spoken about this many times over the years, the Harizal explains that even when a person dies, dying, death is a type of sleep. It's a deeper sleep than regular sleep, but it's sleep. And therefore, even when the person is dead in the grave, Yesh no kurt of shachias. There's still a certain tiny trace of chias, of life. Hanisher matzomas bekevin. They remain by the bones in the grave, and even if the bones have already disintegrated, and so there remains that lose that part of the person of a Jew that is always awake. There's a part of us that always remains awake, even in the grave. Kedei lahamshuch behem netef shalchai. And from that trace of life, there's a place to begin. And from that point of the kusa de chiyusa, of that point of life, the mace is going to be completely revived and brought back to life. So, havla de garmi, one way that it's called in Chazal is havla de garmi. Hevel means like a vapor of a chayim achuzim batzomis that's connected to the bones, that remains by the bones. B'chol shehus ha'adam b'kever, as long as the person is in the grave. Ad l'tchias ha'meisim, until the time of tchias ha'meisim. V'hinei, k'shem shehadov v'nachon b'chayi ha'yachid, the same way that this is true with the individual, that even when he's asleep, there's a moichin de katnas, and even when he's in the grave, there remains some moichin, some tiny trace of moichin, For the first week after the person dies, it's stronger in the grave. And then slowly, shloishim, and then the year, and slowly there's a separation between that chiyus and the guf, until the guf is left only with a trace of something of the soul, of the essence, and in the bone somewhere. So the same way that's true of the individual Jew, kainhu b'chayi ha'om, it's true of the entire nation, of the Jewish people, k'mavu b'arizal, as is explained in Eitz Chaim, l'kachay yagam yisrael b'golos. And so, even in Golos, which we learned from the Gra, is ha'mashul l'misa, is compared, is like death. Shabbat nimshucha chiyas mitzum semes ma'oid, that the chiyas that we have in Golos, Golos doesn't mean even in Eretz Yisrael, during the years of Golos, that the chiyus that we have during Golos is very, very, very dim. It's very, very little. Very little chiyus. Very little chiyus. Nimshu chiyus mitzumtzemes ma'oi. Very little chiyus. Hato'emes es ha'ivarim hamarusakim. Because in Golos, our limbs, our organs are crushed, are broken, like the mace in the grave. Everything is disintegrated and fallen apart. Soida adam kishu bekivra, like a person buried in the ground, in his grave. Zo ma shereinu kaidim lachein b'divei hagra. This is what the Vilna Gaon was talking about. Sheruach hachaim sheyisrael b'galus, that the ruach hachaim of the Jewish people in Galus, he oisa halda de garmi. That's what the Gra said. Even though you and I, Baruch Hashem, feel very much alive, and we have chiyus, but the chiyus is very, very, very small. It has nothing to do with how long it takes you to run, you know, the marathon or something, or to get up the stairs. That's not the chiyus. It has to do with moichin de katnas, moichin de godless and moichin de katnas. That the moichin is very, very, very small. Very small. Moichin de katnas. On Shabbos, wherever you're davening, if there's someone that's talking, try to ask the person in the nicest way possible, to ask the person to be quiet. And he'll most likely tell you that if you'd like that, then you should leave the shul. So moichin de katnas. Why should a person go away from shul if he wants to daven? And if you'd ask that person, just explain what the svar is, and he'd have to deal with that in an honest and real way, he would laugh at himself also. But lo chaser, these kind of crazy things. That's just a very tiny little example. But moichin de katnas. Moichin de katnas. A person can have chiyas. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said that he's going with a friend, they're going to the city to eat out. And I said, Rabbi Shalom, there aren't enough places on Central Avenue. like, give a panosa to the local chaver. What do you have to go to? So he says, no, this is, I don't remember there was the name of a place. He said, you can't. And the way he said it, like, with such a wistfulness, he like, I can't explain it to you what this is. What this is. And you look in the magazines, you see that the pictures of the pieces of meat are getting bigger and bigger, right? There's less borders. And now the latest pictures in the Jewish magazines, in the front magazines, you see nothing else on the page. Nothing. Only meat. Only meat. Nothing else. You could almost, maybe some people like, start biting at the page. You can't see anything else, only the meat. I think it looks a lot better from a distance, but they're making it like, all you could see is the piece of flesh. So for that, you could have a chiyus to go at 9 o'clock to go to the city to get the steak or to get whatever it is, the chavaya of being in such a place. But when it comes to being in the shul, to walk the shul and to say a little bit of an ashrei, a little bit of a yishtabach, it's a Meichen de Katniss. I was talking to my father yesterday because we were talking about the trip that Mitch, I'm going to be taking to Hungary with the shul, and he wanted to know exactly where we're going, and I was talking about it, and he spoke about this place, and we came up to the town of Debrecen. So I asked my father, you remember Debrecen? My father says, Debrecen. Oh, there was a Baltfila, the Debrecen of Baltfila. And he starts to talk to me for half an hour about this Baltfila from 85 years ago. The Baltfila from Debrecen. Like, that's my father's like go-to thing, the Baltfila from Debrecen. And my father said, when he davened, what can I tell you, Moshe, when he davened? And my father, like, it was like he was listening to it. He was so misragish. It's already, mamish, 80, 85 more years. And this Shragish is talking about the Baltfila from Debrecen. And the thing that we have every Friday night when I come home is one of my kids always asked me, who davened for the Yom Kippur? They always ask that, who davened for the Yom Kippur? So lately, sometimes like, I don't, I hesitate a little bit. It was just like 10 minutes ago, and I said, hey, no, I still get it, but it takes me sometimes a minute or two. Sometimes it's very, very memorable, either in a good way or in the other way, but it takes me a minute or two. My father's already, like 85 years later, the Baltfila from Debrecen, when he davened, my father said, we felt like a neshama is leaving us. The way he was talking, the way he spoke about this. This is the Baltfila, Rebercha from Debrecen. And when I asked my father, do you remember Debrecen? I said, do I remember Debrecen? There was Rebercha, the Baltfila from Debrecen. These are the nekudas of life that they lived with, that gave them chiyus. Gave them chiyus. And it's not so long ago, relatively speaking, over Jewish history. And there's a certain type of way that Jews saw life and looked at life, and there are very few left, unfortunately. That way of he says that what he's saying is Ruach HaChaim Sheis HaBagolus. The Vilna Gaon says, Oysa Havla Dagami, Havla Dagami. That what we're living with right now in Golus is Havla Dagami. It's a faint trace of life, of those Moichen that the Jewish people once had. A faint trace of it. A little bit. Hamachunagam Kista Dechiyusa, Kista Dechiyusa. Again, it means a trace, a tiny little bit of life. Hanimsa latzomas haodem bekivrei, that are like glued to the body, to the bones of a person in the grave. That's the kust dechius that we feel, that we have. That's what's left of us in Golus. And from there comes the moichen de katnas, the moichen de katnas of being barely alive in Golus, and a moichen de katnas. Now we're gonna daven. So. Because it's important, maybe make a note to remind me that we should do for next week. We should look up in the back of the Sefer 13, because there is the Lashon of the Ramchal. All right, Ezra, you remind me to do footnote 13, because the Ramchal's Lashon is very, very chashuv, that we should see it inside Mitzvah Shem. So we'll begin with the Ramchal at the bottom of page Mem Beis next week.